produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Shine on. If you know it, come on. Shine on me. Let the light from the lighthouse shine on me. Sing it. I heard.
I heard the voice.
That's Full Gospel Baptist Church. Lay down.
To me.
Come on, Bishop.
And Master saw the Lord was with him
and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did. I'll go ahead and go to verse 4. Joseph found favor in his eyes and became his attendant. Potiphar put him in charge of his household, and he entrusted to his care everything he owned. Let's keep on over now to verse number 20. It says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warden put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison, and he was made responsible for all that was down there. The warden paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care, because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. I just want to use for a subject taken from DJ Khaled. All I do is win. That's what I want to talk about. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, all I do is win. All I do is win. Last week, we discovered that our main character in our text, Joseph, has just been sold into slavery because his brothers cannot stand him. They hate what is on him, but really they hate the fact that his father has lifted him up in such a way. And it's interesting, my brothers and my sisters, that God blesses the family and then the devil messes with the family. It's amazing to me how whatever God blesses, the devil has to miss. My brothers and my sisters, that's why it's important to know that whatever God has blessed you with, whatever God has given you, it's important that you keep it covered in prayer. It's interesting, too, because in this 39th chapter, this is the first time we actually hear it about God doing something for Jacob's descendants since chapter 35. That alarms me because it shows to me, it shows that there's something that is missing. That God can bless us so much, give us so much, give us great children, give us great health, that many times all the blessing that God gives us, we forget who the one that gave it to us in the first place. We forget because we get so complacent and so comfortable with the accoutrements, with having all these things, that we forget that every good and perfect gift that you have comes from God. And so what makes you think that you got good health now, that the devil who sees what God is doing with your health, that he won't mess with you? What you mean, Reverend? You can have great blood pressure here today, and come tomorrow, your blood pressure be stroke level. Hello, somebody. You could be up 1 minute and then down the next. You could have all the money in the world, living high on the hog, but in the blink of an eye, you can all be. What you mean? Somebody can steal your identity? Gone. Yeah. Stock market crash? Gone. Oh, all your good looks. Your nice figure. Hello, somebody. Your waves in your hair. Your youthfulness and fertility. Your mind. Your strength. Don't think that whatever God has blessed you with, that the devil try to take it away. I'm here to let you know, my brother, my sister, that no matter what the enemy tries to do, as I told you last week, as I ended on last week, you ought to be good to, you ought to be glad to know that whatever he tries to mess with, God already has his hands on it. Because I told you last week, and we're going to open up this week, that watch this, Joseph was sold into slavery, but look who was he was sold into slavery to. He was sold to the Ishmaelites. The Ishmaelites, let's go back to our Bible history here, that the Ishmaelites, who are they? They are the descendants of Ishmael. Ishmael is a brother to Isaac. Isaac had who? Jacob. Hello, somebody, y'all in here. Y'all know your Bible. Isaac had Jacob and Esau. Jacob then begot Joseph. So these folks that he sold him into slavery were his kinfolk. What are you trying to say? Is that yes, the devil may mess, but as long as you stay in the hand of God, God will keep his hand on you and God will keep you. That's what's happened to Joseph. That Joseph has been handed over to the Ishmaelites, and then finally he's been sold to this man named Potiphar. And thing I love is that in all of these things that Joseph's in, Joseph never complained. Joseph thrown in the pit. Joseph sold into slavery. Joseph cast into prison. But yet, you get a hangnail. Hello, somebody. You may not complain about a hangnail, but you let something go down in your house, let your money run low, you're going to start bellyaching and complaining. But Joseph teaches us something. Is that my brothers and my sisters, a lot of times what we can learn is that sometimes the best way to go through life is sometimes not saying a word. But then, why do you say a word? It's because you trust who's taking you through. And do I have anybody in here that can say that I know I'm going through right now? I know the situation may not be what it's going to be. I know I'm not where I want to be. I know my health's not where I want to be. I know my finances, my job, my relationship may not be where I want to be. I'm catching it on all sides, but I'm still going to trust in the one who's guiding me. Joseph is sold in slavery. Doesn't say a word. Doesn't say anything about his situation. The Bible says he's sold to Potiphar. Now, Potiphar is the captain of the guard. He is literally the chief executioner. Okay? He is one who is the bodyguard for the Pharaoh. He's the chief of the bodyguards, right? And so what we learn about him is that he finds favor with Joseph. He likes Joseph. He loves what Joseph is doing for him. Now, let me say this, my brothers and my sisters, is that notice in your text, I want y'all to pay attention to this. Let's read it again. The Lord was with Joseph so that he prospered, and he lived in the house of his Egyptian master. When his master saw that the Lord was with him and that the Lord gave him success in everything he did, Joseph found favor in his eyes. So literally, he does not find anything favorable about Joseph until Joseph brings him success. So Joseph is only good use to him because he's making him a success. Now, here's the thing is, it's not that Potiphar found favor with God, but Joseph had favor with God. What are you trying to say, Reverend? Is that there are people in your life who will benefit not because the favor is on them, but because they're connected to who is all has the favor on them. Okay, let me say that one more time. Let me clear it up for you. You see, my brothers and my sisters, there's a blessing in connection. That people will stay connected to you because they don't have to connect to God themselves. As long as they stay close to you, then they know they can get all the benefits that God is giving you. But I'm here today to let somebody know that my brothers and my sisters, eventually God will remove that person out of your life and you're going to have to stand on your own. You're going to have a relationship on your own. And children, I'm talking to y'all on today, is that I'm here today to let you know it's imperative that if you don't hear nothing else from Pastor, it's imperative that you have your own relationship with God. Yes, mama gonna pray for you. Yes, grandmama gonna pray for you. But there's gonna come a time that you're gonna have to pray for yourself. And no, it don't have to be when you get grown. Folks will try you at school. They'll try you when you're on the playground. And the crazy thing is, and I learned it, is that they'll try you, and they don't even realize that if you do something to them, everything crumbles for you. Yeah. You got everything on the line, and the reason why is because the devil wants to destroy you. The enemy wants to take you down so he can go back to God and say, see, I told you. And there are people who are around you. People who are benefiting from you just because of who you're connected with. That's the reason why we sing the song. Mama may have. Papa may have. But God bless. Now hold on, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Did y'all hear the song? We sing it. We jazz it up and everything. It says God blessed us. Not the grown folks. And can I help somebody in here? Come, I'm going to help my children here. Is that my brothers and my sisters? I'm here to let some children know God takes care of two things in this world. Babies and food. And the sad thing is we got both grown babies and grown food. And that's not who that was about. That's about the foolish and the children. And if you have what God has, if you connect with God, he will take care of you. But stop being around people that want to steal your shine, that want to take from you. And the thing is, you don't realize it, that people are drawn to you by what's on you. You want to know why? Ooh, why everybody want to be my friend? Why everybody want to be connected to me? They want to be connected because of what you have. Here's Joseph. Potiphar gets connected to Joseph. Likes what Joseph's doing for him. He's making him successful. The Bible says that he raised him up so much. Loves him so much that, and appreciates him so much that he puts him over his entire household. And because of that, now the household is blessed. And Potiphar doesn't have to be at home. He can step away. Do his own thing. So literally, the man absolves his responsibility at home and gives it to another young man. Okay, can I talk to my grown folks for a minute? Be careful in what you don't do for your household. And this is for my men. A real man takes care of his house first. I understand he's got so much. But what happens later in this text tells you that he wasn't at home enough. And of course, his wife is going to go to the man that looks good and is taking care of the house. We make her evil, but we don't let her be human. Don't worry, we'll deal with that in the Bible. And so Joseph is taking care of the man's house. Doing well. And then here comes Potiphar's wife. The wife who sees Joseph. And Joseph is doing well. He looks good. He's young. He's vibrant. He's intelligent. He's got it going on. And I'm here to let somebody know, temptation will find you. We don't talk enough about this in church, so I'm going to put it out there because I'm that kind of pastor. Young folks, everything that look good to is not going to be good for you. Some stuff you are not ready for. Y'all don't want me to say it? I'm saying it because I'm the pastor. Some stuff, if you feel like you are ready for, but you aren't ready for the consequences that come after. That's the reason why I love Joseph. Joseph becomes the paragon of wisdom. He shows young men how to behave and how to act. And Joseph is one who sits there with wisdom. And I believe that Joseph knew what was going to happen if he had gone to lay with him. See, my brothers, my sisters, young people, we're impulsive. Young people are impulsive. You act on your emotion. How do I know? I'm living with a teenager now. I'm living with preteens now. And they live with their emotions. I love them, but they know the truth. I tell them the truth. They live on their emotions. And so what happens is a lot of times that your emotions, when you act on full emotion and you don't stop to think, sometimes that leads to terrible decision making. But I'm coming to let somebody know, yes, I want you to have emotions, but I want you to stop and pause and think. What are going to be the consequences if I do this? You see, my brothers, my sisters, the problem is that we want our children to be this, but we've got to teach them how to think and how to navigate and how to plan out all of the decisions that they're going to make. If I do this with him, what's going to be the consequence? Y'all want me to go there? I'm going to go there. If I lay down with this man, what are the consequences of me laying down with him? Sexually transmitted disease, unwanted pregnancy, possible HIV, my emotions. I'm now emotionally open and emotionally available. I'm not really ready to deal with the consequence of what sex is. Ooh, yeah, I see the word sex. Yeah, I said the word sex. Because we didn't talk about it, and because we didn't talk about it in the church, now we got people who are walking around here who have children, and children are raising children. Yes, it makes you squeamish. I know it makes you uncomfortable, but sometimes in church, you need to feel uncomfortable. We've got to teach our children to think alongside of their emotions. Not everything that looks good to you is good for you. And trust me, brothers, it's going to be some stuff that's going to look good to you. But you don't understand what you have entered into when you do those things. Somebody's got to sit you down and tell you that this could lead to a path of destruction. And that's what Joseph represents to us on today. Joseph says, I'm willing to take an L on this in order to understand that there's something greater ahead for me. So the Bible tells us that he pushes off her advances continually and even tells her, your husband has put me in charge of everything he's on, but he's not giving me you. And because of that, I cannot do anything. Leave me alone. Now I know some of the young brothers are like, it couldn't be me. Y'all can look at me and laugh all you want. But as Aretha Franklin said, you better think. You better think before you act. And I love it that Joseph lifts up, your husband has put me in charge of everything. Because it shows me that he understands what may be her attraction to him. That here she is, a woman in power. What you got to understand about Egyptian women is that Egyptian women were mighty. They actually were some of the most liberal and had some of the most liberal principles and liberal rules and liberal laws that were actually on Egyptian women in the ancient Near East. Egyptian women could own property. Egyptian women can ask for a divorce. Egyptian women can do a lot of different things. And so here she is. She says that I see this young virulent. I see a
him strong, and I see that he has power. But the thing is, the power that she's really attracted to is not the power over the household, it's the power that's on him. Oh, can I help somebody real quick? Is that my brothers and my sisters, I want to let y'all know this, is that you got to be careful that some people, like I told you, are not attracted to you, but they're attracted to the God in you, because they are missing the God in them. And so what they see in you is that they want to get close to what is keeping you. They want to get close to what is on you, but they don't realize that the way that they want to get close ain't the best way. So, here's my. He's gone. Joseph runs and leaves this woman who's about to assault him. She takes his cloak, Brother Kim, and keeps his cloak. Now, mind you, this is the second piece of clothing that Joseph has had that was on him. That somebody else has taken from him. Each piece of clothing that was taken from him signifies his power and his authority. Cloak, many colors, signified he was going to be the next in charge of the family. The cloak that he had on him was a signifier that he had arisen in the status in the family. He had risen in the status in Egypt, and so he was given this cloak as a symbol of authority. Now, this blessed me, y'all, that the enemy took his cloak. Each time they took what was on him. What made him and signified to other people. Now, here's the thing. The cloak didn't make him. He helped make the cloak. But the problem is that everybody was seeing what was on him and decided to take what was on him off of him. Why? Because here it is. I want y'all to pay attention. Now, I'm catching this. I really want y'all to bless, because this really blessed me in my study time. The Lord really showed me this. Is that, watch this, is that when the enemy comes in and takes what is on you, it's because they can't take what's in you. Can I say that one more time? They're going to take what's on you because they can't get what's in you. Okay, let me see if I made this model. Let me stop playing. You know, when everybody chain getting snatched, right? It still happens. It's been happening ever since I was a kid. That people been snatching chains, right? They want to rob chains, right? Every rapper I know had the chain stolen, right? Migos had the chain stolen. And you go back in the day, they would take a rope chain. People would take the chains, and the reason they would take the chains is because those chains were signifying that they had a sense of wealth, right? And they had a sense of power. They had a sense of influence. And so they believed that if I took the chain and took the necklace, then that would give me some type of advantage over the one who had it before me, right? And so what happens is, young people, is that we have been taught to be materialistic. And we've taught that everything that we need to have, we should wear. We've been told everything that we ought to have, we should have on our backs, we should have around our chain, we should have on our feet, we should be driving in, we should be riding on it. Hello, somebody, come on, don't act like y'all in here, like y'all don't like wearing Gucci, y'all don't like wearing Louis Vuitton. We want to have our bags, we want to have our coats, we want to have all these designers, we want to look good, we want to be able to have Gucci frames, we want to have Gucci this, everything down, we want Versace, we want all these things, but yet, here it is, the enemy snatches all of that, and what do you? Hello, somebody. I want y'all to pay attention to this. Is that if they take all of that, what are you at the end? But can I give y'all something? Is that you got to realize you are more than what you have in your back. A designer label does not define you. And a designer label should not be the way in which we view success and wealth. Because most of those folk who design and clothes don't even like them. You know what makes you wealthy? Owning land. You know what makes you wealthy? Being able to put people through college. You know what makes you wealthy? Being able to have stocks and bonds. That's real wealth. And you know what? That's hard to snatch away. How do you know, Reverend? Because I'm looking at them now. They all on Wall Street. Most of these folks who are there who are wealthy and rich is because of generational wealth.
Yeah.
Imagine if we, all the black folks in the world, took all their Lamborghinis, sold them, and actually bought land. See, people aren't scared and aren't fearful of what you have on you. They're fearful of what you have in you. And if you got God in you, if you got the Lord keeping you, they're trying to get that out of you, and they're not worried about what they take off of you. All right, let's go. I'm ready to get done. Here we go. Snatch the cloak. Jail's Potiphar, he raped me. This Hebrew that you have set over everything came in and raped me. Potiphar doesn't even ask Joseph. He believes his wife, as we should with all victims. Hello, somebody. All right, let's be clear on that. Somebody said they've been raped. It's something that we need to look into. But Potiphar does the wrong thing. Instead of making an investigation, what he does is that he gets hot. He gets angry because his ego has been checked. Because you know how men go, hello, I talk about this in Bible study, that men get angry when a woman cheats on them. Because our ego has been hurt. Hello. By late in Bible study. So here it is. He gets angry. And the thing is that I love this. Watch this. He is chief of execution. Based upon the crime that Joseph has been accused of, he should have died. He should have been stoned. Why doesn't he stone? Now, when you say he probably doesn't fully believe that this happened, because it may have been his wife's custom with slavery, I don't know. But can I tell you what the Lord showed me? Is that many times we've got to realize that people don't necessarily act outside of their character. It's God's mercy that intervenes. What you mean, Reverend, is that he's the chief executioner. He should have stoned him, but he threw him in prison. And so he got to realize he's acting in anger. He should have killed him. But I'm here to let somebody know that here it is. The same can be said for you. What you were caught or what you were accused of doing, it should have killed you. But you ought to be glad that mercy intervened. I ought to have some witnesses in the building on today who've experienced God's mercy before. That God's mercy, what does mercy do? I'm glad you asked. It holds back what you do deserve. And I'm here to let somebody know that God's mercy, it held back some stuff that should have been yours a long time ago. It held back some stuff, even if it wasn't your fault, God still held it back. And am I talking to anybody in here that can at least just say, I thank God for mercy. I thank God that mercy, not just watch this. The Bible teaches us that his mercies are brand new every single morning. So that means every morning you wake up with brand new mercy. You done ran out of the mercy at night, but in the morning, you get brand new. Alright. So he throws him in prison. And the thing that I love is that Michael Jordan told Shaquille O'Neal after the 1996 NBA playoff that Mike had lost to the Magic in 1995. But Magic came back and faced the Bulls in 96. But they were facing the greatest team of all time in NBA history. The team that won 72 and 10. Now mind you, in 1995, those same Magic won the Eastern Conference Finals. Made it to the finals and got swept by the Rockets. Shaq was upset, but was determined to come back in 96. Ran against the Bulls in the playoffs. And those same Bulls that lost to the Magic the year before came back and swept the Magic in 1996. And Shaq, after he had finished the game, went up to Michael Jordan and MJ told him, look, man, y'all played a good game. You did well this season. But before you succeed You've got to learn how to fail. Oh, that blessed my life. And it helped me to understand Joseph. Is that Joseph had some wins in the beginning. But now Joseph has taken an L. He's taken a loss. And he's taken a bad loss. Because Joseph was in the pit. Then he went to Potiphar's house. Now he's back down in a pit again. And I'm coming in to let somebody know that my brothers and my sisters, don't get hurt and don't get upset with your faith. Don't get upset when you take a loss. Because sometimes the loss is setting you up for something greater later. And do I have anybody in here on this morning that can say that you've taken some losses in life? Life has taken some stuff from you. Life has beaten you down. Life has given you a whole lot of L's. You're taking L's in relationship. You're taking L's on the job. You're taking L's in your marriage. You're taking L's even in church. You're taking L's in your career. You're taking L's in your health. But do I have anybody in here that can be thankful unto God that the L's don't always last long? And if you stay in God, those L's won't always be. What you mean, Reverend, is that Joseph teaches us that he took an L and he was put in prison. But the L wasn't for bad. The loss wasn't for his bad. But the loss turned out to be for his good. And do I have anybody that can praise God this morning to know that Romans 8:28 is a true word that says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that are called according to his purpose. And do I have anybody that can thank God in here that the hell you took, it wasn't for your bad, but God turned it around and he made it for your good. Come here, Joseph. Is that Joseph was put into prison, but it wasn't just anybody's prison. It's Pharaoh's prison. It's the king's prison. He's down there, y'all, with folks who are connected to the king. He's connected directly to Pharaoh. And don't you know that he was put to loot? But the Bible says that he went down in the prison. And where he was, God turned it around and made him successful, even in jail. And I come in to let somebody know that even when you lose, you can win. You can win. What you mean, Reverend, is that God, if he puts you there, you're not meant there to be down long. But is there anybody here who knows that God will? Won't he lift you up? Hey, does anybody know, my God, that he will turn your hell and make you a winner? Come here, DJ Khaled. DJ Khaled said, all I do is win. Win, 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 no matter what. And I'm here today to let somebody know, is that you're a winner. You're not a loser. You're a winner. It doesn't matter where you are. You gon' win. And do I have anybody that can testify and say that I was down, but God, he brought me up? Say, if that's your story, why don't you stand on your feet and tell God thank you that my bad day did not work out the way the enemy thought, but God, he turned it around. And don't you know that Joseph looks just like his later descendant by the name of Jesus? They thought he was going to lose. He was hung up there. But anybody know, he died so that I could win. He died
produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.